Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
What if I told you everything you know about the world is wrong?
Dear Lord, what if I told you that all the things I believe to be impossible are in fact very much possible?
Reality is not what you think it is. It is so much more complicated, fascinating, and above all,
Lord, it's terrifying.
We're at the fringes of the map.
And there's more than just dragons. In your name I pray. Amen.
Edwards, you make a beautiful, deft roll out of the chair, coming to a kind of like a crouched low position, and you see both Otis and Sol stand up with like a guarded position. Otis probably draws like a little derringer, not dissimilar to the one that you might wield, and you see that Sol unlumbers from inside his waistcoat. He opens it up, and you see on a sling there's a shotgun. His massive frame, half concealed, it's kind of like a sawn off. It's not very long. It's kind of like a holdout weapon almost. His massive frame is enough to conceal said shotgun. So when it's in his hands, you are very, very shocked. Both of them stand at the ready. Sol puts a finger to his lips and then opens the door and steps out into the train car.
If there's a tea tray or something around, I'm going to slide it under my my coat.
Yes. Clint Eastwood style.
Yeah. I was thinking like Batman.
And Reverend, what would you do? Sing looks quite alarmed, but doesn't do anything. Enrique also looks alarmed, and you can see he glances towards the front of the train where Miguel, his boss, is.
I'm going to look around and remember the conversation I just had not that long ago with Crown and being told to stay out of it, and people involved will get hurt. So I'm looking at Sing, who is a doctor, and going to gauge how he's going to handle the situation. And if he decides to go, I will go with him as a backup and the potential person to read last rites to whoever just got shot.
Well, as you're standing there, the French soldier is the first one from the front restaurant car. You see him burst into this secondary dining car, followed very closely by Miguel. Miguel, you can see his coat and waistcoat are open, and he is furiously, he's got a pistol in his hands, and you can see that he's, well, half in his hands. He has a hip holster, and he is desperately trying to pull a gun from the hip holster, but it is not coming out. He is fumbling with it. He's making a mess of it. Get down, he says. It gestures to Enrique, but he kind of looks around a little bit as well. Enrique certainly drops what he's holding and ducks beneath the bar. Sing, however, starts walking towards the back of the train.
I'm going to start to follow Sing and go, do you need any backup by chance?
Sing turns around to look at you and says, do you have any medical training?
Not all so much, but I know sometimes you need a helping hand. I've lent a hand here and there in the field, but it's all I can offer.
Sing nods. That seems to be sufficient. Miguel calls out from behind you, wait, slow down. He catches up to you and he makes no further argument for you to stay behind. If anything, actually, he probably stands behind Sing and lets Sing lead the way. The French soldier is there with you as well, walking towards the back of the train. You cast your eyes behind you and you see that Agent Watson, I believe you've learned his name, is making his way back with you as well. In addition, you can see basically the entire train is curiously coming behind Agent Watson with various curious expressions. The only noticeable exception, obviously, is the Marshal, who is already somewhere in the back cars, Otis, his bodyguard, Edwards, and you also notice that Australian, Jeannie Richardson, she is also not here.
What about Frida and Crown?
Frida and Crown are both curiously walking with curiosity behind the agent as well.
Okay.
Edwards, you spot, as for Singh, then Miguel, then the Reverend walk past, you spot Agent Watson, you spot basically the entire train passing by. Would you leave to go with them?
I can't quite decide how cowardly Edwards is, so once again, we'll let fate decide. Yes, I go with them. I turn to Otis and I give him like the little finger on the, you know, the shush finger on the lips, mm-hmm. and I tuck my Derringer back into my waistcoat pocket and open the door quietly and close it and try to get up behind the Reverend.
As you're moving towards the Reverend, Agent Watson pushes past you and then comes into the front of the people going back towards the back of the train as well. You can see as he's moving as well, he has drawn, like several other people, he has drawn a pistol.
I turn to the Rev and I have any idea what's going on?
I don't know where you were able to hear from where you were, but we heard a gunshot. We're going to investigate and that's all that we know.
Ah, well, then we seem to be on about the same page.
Yeah, I did notice that the Australian woman, she was not around back with us, but that's the only one I was able to clock that wasn't here.
Hmm. And you don't think this would qualify as getting involved?
Well, yes. Getting involved, this is probably that, but it would be a little bit more suspicious if everyone showed up except for, say, me.
All right.
They'd be like, wait, someone's dead. Or someone shot. Who's not here? Who's not a cat? The Reverend. That sounds terrible. And also, just in case Singh here requires some medical assistance, I do have some training.
Bravely onward, then.
As you approach the storage cars, the door to the first storage car opens up, and the Marshal steps out. That was me. He says, he puts up a hand. The procession stops. And Singh, up the front, I suppose, says, what, you, did you fire a gun? Is that what happened? The Marshal waves his pistol around and says, yeah, it was me. I fired a shot. I saw a intruder of sorts. I thought he was trying to free the prisoner. Watson pushes past all of this and he heads towards the back of the train. He's not listening.
Can we gauge if he's lying?
Excellent question. Would you also like to roll, Edwards?
No.
Not curious? Yeah, that's fair. You can see that the Marshal appears to be rattled. He's like a little scared. You genuinely think he shot an intruder because what else would he have possibly done?
All right. Noted.
Well, this was all very exciting. If you have things under control here, I'm going to be making my way back to, and I start leaving.
As you leave, you see several people are also dispersing with you. The French soldier continues to walk, though. He's going into the back of the train as well.
I'm going to keep pushing my advantage, like, just keep pushing my luck with this guy. As he walks by, I give him, like, a knowing look and a slow nod. He's the same guy I was under the train with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two successes. Three successes. Holy shit. You turned one success into three. Fuck, dude. Yeah, you give him like a slow, knowing nod. He stops, considers you for a second, and then he gives you a nod back. The nod he gives you back is kind of like a... Like, you've tricked him. He thinks that you are in on whatever's happening. But when he gives you a nod back, it's kind of like with a newfound... There's like respect mingled in with like a sense of competition. You think you have unwittingly made this man believe that you are a competitor to him.
Perfect.
All right.
Part 1B of my 7-step plan is about to begin.
As the Frenchman tries to push his way back, Miguel protests, "Sir, you're not allowed back there. Sir, stop." Miguel follows after him. Miguel starts punching out some rapid-fire French, but this guy's just not listening to him. Sir Crown stands in the hallway and doesn't necessarily do anything straight away. Dr. Singh begins like an interrogation of Maynard, the marshal. Otis returns to his cabin with his bodyguard, and everyone else just kind of disperses. So, Edwards, you are also dispersing. Reverend, what would you like to do?
I'll be staying with Singh.
So, Singh leans in, and you can see he starts... Maynard kind of flinches and reflexively tries to get away, but Singh just grabs his head, drags him in, and starts checking him. Are you okay? You were not shot. You did the shooting. Were you injured at all? Maynard tries to shake his head as best as he can while being grappled by Singh, shakes his head and says, "No, I wasn't. It was just a strange person in the train car. They were walking past the prisoner, walking past Clanton. I tried to call out at first, give him fair warning and whatnot, and they pulled a gun on me." Now, you can see that the marshal is kind of like calming down. You can see that it feels like his lying center has been re-engaged, and you can tell that that was not true.
I would like to use my persuasion confession skill as best as possible to say, "Listen, it's all right. We need to make sure that everyone is as okay as possible. Why don't you just tell us exactly what happened as you remember? Because we also need to make sure that you're okay, you know, stress-wise and shock-wise after that. This happens after gunfire."
The marshal looks at you, Reverend. He shakes his head. That's the God-honest truth. That's what I'm telling you. You can see he has been caught out in a lie, and he is maintaining it. Now Singh, who wasn't previously suspicious of Maynard, is also now suspicious of Maynard. And I guess, Sir Crown is also here. Sir Crown gives Maynard kind of like a side glance as well. You can see that everyone in this area now is aware that Maynard is lying for some reason, but he refuses to admit what happened.
I nod my head and go, "Well, all right, if that's what you say, but just... at least try to let us know exactly what's wrong with how you're feeling if anything seems incorrect. Dr. Singh here and I, we're here to help."
"All right, then. Well, I'm going to go back to my cabin. My room, whatever. I'll see you when I see you." He turns around and leaves.
He got so flustered.
I look at Dr. Singh and like give a slight shrug.
"I wonder what that was about," Singh said.
"Well, something obviously wasn't quite right. Do we know who was shot yet? We should probably check on that body, I would imagine."
Yes, you lead the way," he says, gesturing.
Sure. And I walk ahead of him and not exactly with confidence going forward, but at a pace.
All right.
Oh, hell. See, this sounds way more exciting than continuing to try to con Otis. I'm going to turn around and come back to where you guys are.
Well, to be fair, actually, when you get back to Otis's room, Otis looks at you and maybe you're about to enter again, Edwards. But then Otis says, "I'm very sorry. I respect you immensely, but I need some time to process the information that you've given me. A lot has happened all at once, and it looks like only more is happening. I will contact you should I need you again." He Presumably forgetting that he's already paid you gives you another $200.
That's fine. I do a little sleight of hand and make it disappear when I take it, and I do like a little arabesque bow.
He slides his door shut, and you see Sol, his bodyguard, is standing, maybe has like tucking the shotgun back away where it came from, but is standing in the hallway of that train car, obviously on guard.
I'm gonna...
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm gonna tuck a nickel into his jacket pocket, and pat it, and walk away.
As the door is closing, you see that Marshall Maynard is walking towards the front of the train. As he passes you, you hear him muttering, "Need a fucking drink."
I'm gonna go see what my friend is doing in the back of the train.
You watch as the door closes on Singh and the Reverend. Maybe give like a little bit of an extra skip of a step, and Singh holds the door briefly so that you can join them.
Oh, welcome back.
I feel welcome, thank you.
In the first of the cargo cars, there is the prisoner, Morgan Clanton. As always, he is kind of like half mummified by chains. He's got like a Hannibal Lecter mask as well. He can't say or really do anything. He's just wide-eyed staring at one person, going from one person to the next. In this car, you see that Miguel is standing. Miguel is like frozen in time and space and is staring at a pool of blood in front of the prisoner, Clanton. There's like some evidence of a scuffle happening here. Some of the crates have been like knocked over. But you cannot see the Frenchman or Agent Watson.
There's no shot body around?
No, there's no body.
Well, I was expecting to see someone here.
It's curious. Someone was clearly injured, but I say Miguel.
Miguel jumps when you say his name.
I jump as well. steady, dear boy. Who's been shot?
I don't know. There was no body when I came here either.
Are we allowed to talk to the prisoner here and see what they saw? Because apparently it happened right here.
Miguel slowly... No, actually at that, Miguel very quickly snaps back to it.
If you want to do that, I'll fast talk him for a little while. Just keep him busy while you look around.
Both of you spot Miguel begins to look shifty and says, we're under very strict orders to keep him bound and gagged. He cannot be released.
Of course, my dear boy. might I ask, have you always had this slightly greenish cast? The only reason I ask is because you've undergone what may be severe stress, and I worry that it may be having a psychophysio effect upon you. I'm just going to keep him busy so the Reverend can look around.
Miguel's like trying to divide his attention between the two of you, but you've positioned yourself like you're physically standing in a way, and you're like,
I'm undoing his like top button of his shirt and massaging like the glands in his neck and like looking into his eyes and shit and just telling him all this stuff about the effects that severe unexpected shock can have on your physical well-being.
He's like glancing every now and then at you, Reverend, but the majority of his attention is focused on Edwards right now. What would you like to do?
I would like to try and put my back to Miguel and get a little bit closer with the prisoner so they would be able to hear me. Mm-hmm. And asked Singh, would you like to investigate the blood, see if there's anything you can tell about what kind of wound this may be, and I'll try and guess some answers.
Singh, who sees through your technobabble but is just confused as to what you're doing, just kind of stares at you, Edwards, and then kneels down to have a look at the blood. What are you doing with the prisoner, Reverend?
I put my back to Miguel and go, mm-hmm. Sir, if you don't mind my asking, I would assume you saw what happened in here.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the person who was shot?
Mm-hmm.
Were they male?
Mm-mm.
Female?
Mm-hmm.
Did she look like an adventuring type with a lot of weapons?
Mm-hmm.
Did she speak with an Australian accent, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
Understood. I'm pretty sure I know who this was. And did she start the fight, or did the sheriff? Sheriff?
Mm-hmm. He gets really mad at the mention of the sheriff.
Did the woman start the fight?
Mm-mm. He shakes his head furiously. When he does that, he's like very agitated. The second he started mentioning the sheriff, he became like really agitated. And you see he kind of like starts struggling at his chains. And then when you asked that question, he responded quite loudly. Loud enough for Miguel to notice, even though you are distracted.
You could cough like that if you would.
You try, but Miguel looks over his shoulder, sees how close the Reverend is, and then kind of like half throws you off. What are you doing? Get away from him.
Well, I was just finding out that we believe the person shot was the Australian woman on the train.
Miss Richardson?
I guess. I did not know her name, but fits the description of the questions I was asking. We did not touch the prisoner. We did not take away the restraints. I followed your regulations.
The door to the rear cargo car opens. The Frenchman slinks in. Both of you, everyone notices that he quite clearly was making an effort to not be detected. Not by you, but by the previous train car. Like, he moves in like he had just been hiding. When he spots all of you, he kind of like straightens up, gives you like a curt nod, and then walks back to the passenger cars. He is followed very shortly by by Agent Watson, who looks around and says, "No body."
When the Frenchman was walking past, I wanted mm-hmm. to very quickly in French ask, "Did you see Mrs. Richardson back there, the Australian woman?"
He responds in French. No, I did not. There was no woman, no body. Though I was not looking for either, he says. And then he keeps walking.
All right. If you see her, she may be wounded. Just letting you know.
Wee wee.
And then when the agent comes in, I go, no one. No. If someone was hurt like this, they have to be somewhere.
That is a very good point, says Agent Watson. I don't know where they are. They're not in the rear carriage either. And I checked the caboose. Where's the marshal? He says. Isn't this his job as well?
I pointed towards where we came in.
Once again, at the mention of the marshal, Clanton starts thrashing violently.
He went down that way. He left.
All right. Well, Miguel, can you go fetch him, please? Miguel, honestly, quite keen to be out of the room with the blood, nods and says, all right, I'll send one of the porters to. He turns around and leaves.
If I can find a second with my good friend here, I would like to pull him aside and give him a whisper. That was the woman that was on top of the train with me. She has a very good ability. That was a stealth suit woman.
Ah, yes. So
possibility she just may not want to be found right now.
I'm gonna take a look at the floor and see if there's any blood trail away from the pool of blood.
As you're inspecting the blood, Singh turns around and says, whoever this was, they were wounded, obviously, but I don't think gravely. If I were to guess, I would say that they may still be bleeding, but I don't think this is going to be anything. I don't think it's a mortal wound.
No, but whoever was injured is either on the train and still injured, or no longer on the train.
You can see that there are little marks that lead to the back of the train. Little splots of blood.
Hmm. I follow them.
If you're following them, as you approach the rear, Agent Watson says, what's your plan there, boy?
You know, I hadn't quite gotten that far. And I stop.
The back part of the train is off limits, he says, and he puts an arm to block your way.
Very well, then. I start sniffing the air heavily around him. Hmm. That's a nasty curse you've got there. And I walk away.
Agent Watson seems... Well, you can't see him. Agent Watson has
I don't turn around to see how he reacts. Sure. I just walk off.
Reverend, Agent Watson looks like... He's not entirely dismissive of that, but he does kind of... He doesn't necessarily have a lot of respect for Edwards' ability to detect curses, but you also see that he's not entirely dismissive of Edwards' potential ability to detect a curse.
Do I notice what you were trying to do and why you were trying to go to the back? Did you bring up that information?
I wasn't doing it secretively.
If you were paying any attention, you could have noticed, sure.
Not to get as involved as possible, Agent Watson, I'm just thinking of the potentially hurt individual on the train here. It looks like the trail goes back there. So is it possible that they were just missed? There's nowhere else to go.
Watson gives a big sigh and says, well, while we're waiting for the marshal, I suppose. Yeah, all right then. But I'm coming with you, and you need to be very careful on what you touch and manipulate. There's very sensitive materials back here, he says.
Whatever you say, I want to find the person who's hurt and get them help.
You, Singh will come with as well, and Watson head into the back. Edwards, do you just want to, do you want to leave? You heard this conversation.
I'll stay in the, I've already made a dramatic exit away from Watson. I can't then turn around and follow him.
Okay.
But I'm going to stay sitting opposite the prisoner while they check out the back of the car.
Well, are you doing anything with the prisoner or in this area? You've got one of the you are not supposed to be here. One of the you've got one of the cargo trains just to yourself for a moment at least.
Well, with a prisoner.
Sick.
With the prisoner.
Anything valuable looking around?
Everything's in crates or trunks or boxes. You cast your eyes around and you can't, there's no way to tell if something could be expensive.
I'm gonna sit and wait for the Rev to finish up what he's doing, but I'm not gonna leave the car.
The prisoner, while you're casting your eyes around, you hear, he's trying to get your attention.
Hey, what?
He gestures.
I come a little closer, yes, what is it?
He shakes his head. He's shaking his head around a lot. You can see he's obviously trying to work at his Hannibal Lecter mask and his gag.
It's time to see how bad my judgment is. I make the shush, and I reach up and I pull the mask down enough for him to speak.
To do that, you'll need to remove the Hannibal Lecter mask is locked in place. You will need to pick the lock. If you have lock picking tools.
Oh God, that's a lot of work.
That's a better. Yeah. Well,
just as someone who watched a bunch of lock picking videos on YouTube, thought it would be fun to learn and then found out it's really difficult. It's really difficult.
Yeah. My housemate tries as well. It's very funny to watch him try. If you want, you don't have to do this, but if you want, you can make a larceny dexterity check to pick the lock.
Yeah, why the hell not?
Yeah, to stealthily, quietly, blow the lock off with your gun.
A little bit of dynamite. Fine. Blowing his jaw off in the process. Yeah.
I want to say, if maybe it's not even that. It's just that it's not intended, you know, like whoever is in that mask is meant to be restrained. So, like, I noticed that there's just a thing that you can turn.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't think he really picks locks.
Yeah, you see on one side there's this massive padlock, and on the other side you're like, oh, there's just a little thing.
Yeah.
you unlock the mask. You remove his gag as well, and when he removes his gag, you're going to help me. I'm the marshal.